News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
No longer fit for purpose. That's expected to be the argument from Minister for Justice Helen McEntee today in Cabinet as she attempts to replace the 2015 International Protection Act. This new legislation would allow for Ireland to adopt the controversial EU Migration Pact that was welcomed by the government earlier this year. Joining me now with more details, political correspondent with the Irish Times, Harry McGee. Harry, good morning.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Now, when this was first introduced and the government indicated its support for the pact, it was not expected that this would have any effect at all until sometime in 2026. But they've changed their minds.
That's it. Well, they have until 2026 to incorporate it into Irish law or to bring it into Irish law. But they have chosen to act on it very quickly. I mean, within essentially a week of the local and European elections taking place. And as we saw, migration was an issue that did feed into the narrative and the campaigns for both elections. And even though there wasn't an anticipated big breakthrough of right-wing parties, at least six openly anti-migration candidates were successful in the European elections, and it showed that perhaps we're seeing the beginning of the emergence of groups and parties in Ireland that we have seen happening in most other European countries over the last 20 to 30 years. Mm-hmm. But certainly the support wasn't confined to those on the fringes. Many of the mainstream parties, they hardened their prose because there was more kind of middle ground sentiment that was negative to the number of people coming in seeking international protection, and even more negativity being expressed to Ukrainians, which was surprising because of the positive attitude that people had over the past 2 years. But parties have acted accordingly, and we've seen pivots in terms of their positions and hardening positions, no more so than in Fine Gael, especially since Simon Harris has become Taoiseach. And it's not really, when you think about Simon Harris's modus operandi, Pat, I suppose it's not a great surprise that he would try to move with haste to incorporate this into Irish law.
Now, you might remind us, Harry, about the four pillars of the new migration and asylum policy, this so-called pact. I mean, the first thing is about screening.
Screening, yes. So that means that all applicants will have... They'll have data essentially around they'll have the photograph taken, so kind of there'll be a biometric data. They'll also be fingerprinted, and the second aspect of that will there'll be pre-screening to see if they have a legitimate application or legitimate papers that will allow them enter into the European Union, and that decision will be taken at a designated centre, and some of those centres would be outside the EU, and that has caused controversy, and that decision would be made quickly. But if that decision is a negative one, they will be deemed not to have any right to actually even come into the EU and have their application processed. So that in itself has been controversial.
Now, the idea of the biometric data being collected is that it then will be centrally collated. And it means that if someone is applying in multiple locations for asylum, that will be flagged immediately by the computer.
That's right, under the Eurodac system. And some of the opposition parties who have opposed the pact, they have, for example, Sinn Féin agrees with this aspect for it. They believe that a Europe-wide database does make sense. And in relation to the fingerprints of children or the data of children being taken, that does seem to be, you know, on the face of it seems to be moving against children. But it is, if you look at it from another to another prism, it's a way of protecting children who may be trafficked or who may be abused in Europe. So if you look at it through a more altruistic lens, it's perhaps a way of supporting children. So that hasn't been as controversial as some of the other measures, I must say, with the opposition parties here.
Now, the question of border procedures will change and how quickly people might be returned who are rejected.
That's right. There'll be faster processing of all applicants, and the government wants to bring in a central measure of the pact that will have very quick and legally binding timeframes in relation to decision making. As you said, to be fast track processing at those designated centres of the pre-screening, but then also a huge emphasis on getting those who have been unsuccessful in their applications returned to their home countries as quickly as possible, or to other European countries that they may have travelled through. So it's a development on what we know as the Dublin III Convention. Dublin III Convention, the kernel of it, really, from an Irish perspective, is if somebody has landed in another European country and has their application processed there, they have to be returned to the first country in which they have made an application or are entitled to make an application. And this will give effect in a slightly different iteration to that Dublin III Convention. So Ireland, because there are few direct flights from many countries to Ireland outside the EU, it will mean that Ireland will be in a position to make applications to have those applicants return to those countries.
Yeah, Michael O'Leary was on this programme yesterday and was making the point that there are no direct flights from places like Afghanistan and Syria, for example.
Yes, yeah, the difficulty with that is, you know, that means that there'll be a couple of countries in Europe who will be taking all the all those who are seeking applications in, and that would be, you know, inherently unfair. And in some instances, they're just passing through. You know, they, for example, some have come into Ireland, have just transited through airports like Paris and Heathrow. They land, they stay for 2 or 3 hours. They never really depart the airport, and then they come into Ireland. Now, does that qualify as them landing in Paris or in Amsterdam as opposed to landing in Dublin? That is a question that will be debated as this particular legislation goes through the Houses
now,
of the Iraqis.
There is another aspect of this pact whereby if a country decides that it cannot afford, for all sorts of circumstances, be it resources or whatever, that it can't facilitate the arrival of huge numbers of asylum seekers, it can pay not to accept them.
That's right. And I think Ireland will be availing of that particular mechanism, where that's the noises that we have been getting from government and from politicians over the past couple of months. And allied with that will be a new solidarity mechanism that will give greater financial support to countries that are on the front line, essentially, countries like Italy and Greece, where most of those who are seeking international protection present themselves for the first instance. Greece, in particular, the islands of Greece, Italy, and in some instances in Spain.
Now, as well as deciding to fast-track the EU pact, the migration pact, Helen McEntee is also bringing about other measures with airlines, for example. There might be increased fines. Again, Michael O'Leary said yesterday they want to cooperate fully. They want to send all details of passengers who board with documentation. They want to send that documentation to the department in advance so that they know what's arriving and what papers they had and identified accordingly, I suppose, by seat number. Anyway, he wants to do that. She's also
that might have some GDPR implications, because that would mean every single person who boards a plane from outside the European Union and associated areas. And number one, that would be a very big logistical operation. And number two, it might have GDPR.
Yeah, but I mean, we do this. We look at everyone's passport when they come in theory. I mean, sometimes people are nodded through, but every passport is supposed to be inspected. And you know the way they put it on the scanner to check you're not a terrorist or whatever when you come in.
That's right. That's done. But his proposal is that it will be done at the point of boarding the plane. So at the gates, essentially. That a scan will be taken of the passport and the documentation, and then will be transferred to the receiving country, in this case, Ireland. Yes, I heard him say the proposal. I think the proposal will probably be looked at in government, but I think that it's one that will be not without some issues in relation to GDPR and in relation to just the logistics of it. I know that it's done when they come in Ireland, but there'll be another layer of bureaucracy, and people are waiting to get onto a plane might find that the boarding times have been increased.
Well,
but
that's
something to be teased out, I suppose.
Yeah, with the speed of computing and so on, that there might not be a problem with that. And as long as they don't retain the data, if you're an innocent party and have nothing to fear, as long as your data is not held in the central computer indicating your movements and so on, which would be an invasion, perhaps, of your privacy. Also going to maybe increase the staff in IPASS to maybe by another 400 people, if they can find them.
Yeah, so the fine for airlines will be increased from 3,000 to 5,000 euros. That's maximum carrier liability if they failed to ensure the passengers have appropriate documentation. So that's aimed essentially at airlines like Ryanair. They also say they will increase the staff by 400 by the end of the year. There's already been a huge increase in the number of people who are working in international protection because of the numbers. I mean, we have gone from a situation where there were 3,000 people a year seeking protection to, you know, we'll definitely have around 25,000, if not more, this year. So there had to be a proportional increase in staff to cope with those numbers and also to try to process the applications quicker. The big difficulty with the system was just the sheer inordinate length it takes to process an application. From the moment a person arrives to the moment that the system finally disposes of the application, you're talking about a period of many years. And by that stage, the person will have established roots in the country. So it's not a logical and it's not a fair system in many ways, because those people are left in a kind of a limbo situation for many years without status and without any kind of opportunity to either be in or be out. So they are trying to make it a quick process. The minister has promised in the memo that she will present to Cabinet that the rate of dealing with applications will almost double from 1,100 per month to 18,000 per month. And they are hoping that that will rise again to 2,200 per month. So we'll see if that actually happens, because it does seem to me on the face of it to be an ambitious target pass.
And finally, the other innovation would be the power to strip people who've been naturalised in Ireland of citizenship should they misbehave in an egregious way.
That's right. And that's going to be included in separate legislation that will be enacted before the summer. And it's actually giving effect to a court decision, so it's kind of niche, because I mean the people who would be stripped of citizenship are people who have been convicted of offences, and essentially it's really for those who have been of egregious conduct. So it's not going to affect many people; it will affect very few people. But I think it's an important element of the whole apparatus that has been put in place. The other innovation that's going to happen as well is in relation to the government chartering planes to bring deportees or people who have been deported to their original countries. And this will give the government power to charter planes. They sent out a tender on e-tender yesterday. And essentially, if there is a group of those who have no right to remain in the state who are being deported, rather than putting them all individually onto ordinary commercial flights, a jet will be chartered to bring them to their home country. That did happen before, but it was suspended during COVID, and the government were kind of slow to bring it back past, but they are bringing it back now. So it's another tool. It's very expensive, though. It's far more expensive than bringing a person back on a commercial airline. But at the same time, if they are deporting a large group of people on a charter, it does give them an opportunity to show that they are actually doing things to give effect to the system.
Harry McGee, political correspondent of the Irish Times. Thank you very much.
News Talks Summer Cash Machine.
Now this week we have a special Summer Cash Machine with an incredible prize to be given away on Friday. €200,000 tax-free. That's right, €200,000. A truly life-changing amount of money. Cars, holidays, school fees, pay off the mortgage. The possibilities are endless. To enter, text PLAY to 57557 before 3 on Friday afternoon. Then after 3 on Friday, randomly we'll make the call. If it happens to be to your phone, answer within 5 rings, tell us the total, and then you get all that money. The cost is €2.50 plus your standard message rate. Over 18s only, you're playing across the Go Loud network of stations. Full terms to be found on newstalk.com. But remember this week's total. How could you forget? €200,000 tax-free. Text PLAY to 57557. Some of the texts, finally a bit of common sense immigration policy. It's a harder stance, but not a hard right stance. It counteracts the harms caused by the far left free-for-all approach. Another one, Is it true Ireland is not obliged to take any immigrants and they can opt out if they so wish? Can we get to the bottom of this once and for all? Well, we'll take our share, and if we can't afford to take that share, then we pay. That's the system they're going to bring about. Hi, Pat. Presumably you travel regularly by air and know that you cannot board a flight without a valid passport. If passengers subsequently destroy documents en route, why should the airline be held responsible and fined? Well, as I told you, as we heard from Michael O'Leary yesterday, he says they're happy to cooperate, to send copies of all the documentation of every Ryanair passenger to the Department of Justice, and how quickly they could respond and say, don't let X board or Y board, I don't know. But anyway, that's what his proposal was, rather than face fines of maybe 5,000 for every passenger who sneaks through the net.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.